Sunday school study, there was the Lord changed the topic, and I just found out last night that this morning that there's the children had done a little work downstairs, and it's precisely the title of the topic. And I just think it's very special. You know, it's encouraging to know. Praise the Lord. Let me get this set up. The title today of the Bible study will be Dressed in His Word. I think it's such a special time in this age, right? The Lord has given us eyesight to see and the privilege to be clothed and dressed on His Word. Yes, yes, amen. As the brothers get they set up, we'll pray with our heads where we are sitting. Heavenly Father, we're delighted to be here in your presence today. We're so thankful that we can have the confidence that your word has the power, Father, to equip us, to dress us, to give us strength, to do so many things. But today we'll ask you that you open up, Father, the revelation of how your Bible is the dressing, Father, of your church and of your little bride. And we're so grateful, Father, this day. And we're thankful, Father, that we can call upon you, that we can study your scriptures and see all these things knitted throughout the entire Bible, and in the same way you knit the fabric, Father, of your word in the believer. So we ask today that you do a special miracle, Father, of revealing this word to us, and may you just anchor it in our souls, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So dressed in his word. So the first time we find somebody being dressed was in Genesis, and that is in Genesis 3, 20, 21. I'll be going through a lot of scriptures really quickly, so you won't have time to be flipping through them today, but I have them up here. So, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Interesting here, right? That they connect those two. Being a mother means there's a conception. And Adam also and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them? You know, so the first time it was leather, right? It was coats. It's an animal life. Of course, blood was shed. But the purpose of being clothed is, in general, I put some notes here, is to cover our shame or nakedness, as we saw, but it's also to cover from the weather, from the elements, and it protects from injuries, right? And mainly it identifies who you are and what you believe. And we'll find that Brother Branham touched up on the topic of the policeman having the authority, and he talked about the bride being reviewed. So I believe it matters what you wear, of course, externally, but also we are, as persons, right, we're always displaying also the spiritual clothing that we're clothed with, right? So that's what we'll see today. So talk about natural clothing. So the Bible makes distinctions. There are clothes of services, right? The priest, so to do service in the holy place and the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. So then we see that God provided the lambs. It says, lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are for the price of the field. So we find that the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold, is written in here. And we'll find the different materials that we find for clothing. We see linen. We see different materials like sackcloth. We see the Bible talk about silk. And scarlet and purple and blue and different either types or colors, all signifying something. But, you know, it is important to be covered. This Bible verse stuck to me when I read it myself. Just reading through the Bible is one of those Bible verses where you've never heard it before, but you read it yourself. Nehemiah 4:23. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. So they were consecrating, and it says saving, meaning except that everyone put off them off for washing. So this is a time of consecration that was happening. Of course, you know Nehemiah was a building of building up again. So the concept here is that we are supposed to be clothed. I think that when we go up and about, when we go wherever we go, whatever we do, we are supposed to be reflecting, displaying something, right? Physically, of course. But I believe spiritually, of course. And we should not be caught with our clothes off. Of course, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, protecting of our nakedness and of shame. And I believe that's what this word does, and that's what this message came to do for us. And here we find in Psalm 109, it says, "Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion." So at the mantle of confusion, as with the mantle. See, we find in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. So we find where it says, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple." I just always love, you know, the Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. And I've always could visualize that, right? It's a woman that it's laboring to ensure that her and her family is clothed, right? And that it's covered and that it's ready for the, in this case, for the element, for the winter. So I think this Bible, this God's word, this message has clothed us and it has a utility behind it. It is not just a display. It is a display, but it also has it's in a power and an authority that follows that. I wish we could see in the unseen, right? You know, we know Solomon spoke about the grass and the lilies and the flowers being covered and being clothed, and that not even Solomon was clothed in such a glory. And it says, and then in another place it says, if God cares about the grass and talking about, you know, feeding the birds and all that, how much more does he care of dressing the grass? How much does he care about you? So it is important. It is important what we dress and clothe upon. In Mark 1, we see 1:6, "And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey." So the Bible is very descriptive, right? Always describing what everybody had their own purpose. And it's interesting because then we find Jesus was clothed with linen, right? So see, it all has its place. It all has its purpose. So I mean, with Elijah, 2 Kings, we find out that Elijah, as he was going up, he said, "Oh, you asked for a hard thing," when he wanted a double portion, right? So see, that mantle represented a double portion because that's what he asked for. And he said, if you see me going up, then you will, right? But then in verse 12, it says, "And Elisha saw it." He saw him going up, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, and took up also the mantle of Elijah, and that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan to continue the work, right, the ministry. I think it's beautiful that we have a mantle of grace this time. We have clothes of righteousness. So talking about spiritual clothing now, and I'll make this a short Sunday school teaching because I know we got an event later today. So Isaiah 61:10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." Scriptures we read last Sunday because we were talking about joy. But it's also a fitting here because it says, "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." Amen. "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments." So all this has done is picture a bridegroom decking himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And I'm thankful that we've read, you know, that the bride has made herself ready. And I was meditating a lot about the 10 virgins. It's not written in the Bible as so, but we do know that the cry was at midnight. And we do know that that the others didn't make it in time, right? And they went to sleep. And usually people go to sleep, some of us put our pajamas on. And I just think it's important, you know, that it's the vigilance, you know, the fact that they had their lights, their oil was there, and that they were ready and expectantly waiting. May the Lord find us that way here. So in Job 29, it says, it was a parable. That's the first verse, how it speaks about how Job spoke a parable. So all this was in a parable. But then he says, "I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgments was as a robe and a diadem." See, a lot of parallels here about robes and raiments and coverings and being clothed and being dressed. Here's an example in Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. in a lot of other translations, here's an example one. It says, have clothed yourself with Christ. So put on, right? It's something you put on as a display, as a something you carry with you. In 2 Chronicles 6:41, it says, now therefore arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation, and let the saints rejoice in goodness. Amen. So in 1 Peter it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yep, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. See, it's the attributes of God's word and display. I can only imagine, right, if you actually could see in the other dimension, right, because clothing, what we have external is a representation of the spiritual. It's the different ornaments, the different jewels, and what they represent, and the different aspects of God's spiritual dimension, right, where we can just see somebody being clothed in righteousness and humility and having a robe. So it actually makes distinctions. There's clothes, there's dress, there's raiment, there's garments. There's different layers. Sometimes people wear a mantle, sometimes they wear a scarf. And it's just beautiful how it's typifying. But if you could see that in the other dimension, you probably just see, and we'll see how Jesus, when he went into Mount Transfiguration, right? He was wearing natural clothes. But all of a sudden, I believe their eyes were open, right? Because they say they saw into the other dimension, right? They saw the others coming in and joining. And they saw Jesus, it began by his countenance, they'd been transfigured and being shining. And then he says that his linen was white as snow, as glistening. Amen. So, clothed in humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Again, so speaking here about being dressed in his word. In Revelation 1:3 says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with the golden girdle. And here, an interesting fact I found that in the message in 54, Brother Manon was speaking on the seven church ages. That was the title of the message. We know it's back in 54, I believe it was. But one of the interesting parts is that he typified the bride on here. He's just mentioning here that, you know, speaking about the paps and the different things, and he actually outlined every single one of these. Because it does say like unto the Son of Man. And it's an interesting parallel there that I found. But in here it says, he that overcometh, Revelation 3:5, the same shall be clothed with white raiments, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I'm speaking to different groups here. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In Luke, we see that. But the Father saith to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Just thinking about the elements of how God made provisions, right? How the children of Israel talked about how their clothes did not wax old, and their feet did not, and their shoes did not stop functioning anyway. I forgot how I read it, but I just think it's beautiful how I grew up from a generation where my father, they had no shoes. They literally walked around without shoes. And so my father's father, my grandfather, being a shoemaker, as I mentioned before, you'll see the whole school class with nobody had shoes on, except my dad. Yeah, it was made out of just leather and then little nails that you put like on the little edge. And then what they would get is old tire rods from just the road. They would cut those out. That's what they would be. That would be the sole of your feet, of your shoe. And I just think it's special, you know, that God made provision for us. And here, it's the prodigal son. And that's all of us, right? The Lord puts on his best robe on us. You know, one that didn't put on the notes here, But when Jesus was at the cross, it talked about how they rent his clothes. And in one place it says they rent it in four pieces. And how they actually put on another kingly, royal cloth on him and mocked them. You know, saying, hey, King of the Jews. And they actually kneeled down. It makes me wonder, you know, if they were really fulfilling a prophecy, even though they were mocking, right? But they're He was being clothed even in his cross. Clothing matters. What we're clothed about and what we hear about, it does matter. Amen. Isaiah 61, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, so the bride, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise. And I love that song, right? Put on the garments of praise. It says for the spirit of heaviness, you know, like against the spirit of heaviness, right? And I just think it's amazing that even when we're praising, we're displaying garments. We're displaying our garments of praise unto him. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. So we find here in 2 Corinthians, it says, for this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed. Upon with our house, which is from heaven. For if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Amen. So this life that we walk, this blessed message that we live, this blessed Bible, it's preparing a bride, and it's a type, right? It's clothing her. And I think if you could see it, and remember, we'll show the Bible, the message quote here where Brother Branham was, saw a bride in review. And it actually says that it brought joy to his heart. In one place it says that that will be my crowning of my ministry. Is to take the word, the clothes of the word, and to be able to dress the bride and prepare her for this message. And let us not take for granted that we've been... that these things have been revealed to us. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, O bride, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. What a beautiful promise, right? I was going to teach today on the progression of sin, so I think we're having it easy today, so bear with me as I develop this title. For some reason, late last night, I had it almost all the way done, but I think that's for another time, because it just closed up on me. So you're having it easy this morning, eh? Going to be easy on us. All right, Zechariah 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood therefore before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away thy filthy garments from him. See, it matters. And this is Joshua talking about, this is Zechariah. So this is Joshua talking about a priest, Joshua, named Joshua. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. So it always goes with it, right? There's always a letting go of an old garment to get the new one. And I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. And in Matthew 22, it says 11 through 12. And when the king came in to see the guests, so this is the wedding, right? He saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. See? And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? You must have that wedding garment. I believe it's been said that in that tradition, that was your invitation, is your wedding garment. That was your... It was provided for the guests, and that's what you would wear for the wedding. And he was speechless. He knew. Like, you could see the culture here. He could have just said, oh, well, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong about my jeans? But he knew. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. So we need it. We need our garments, lest we walk naked. And they see his shame. And here in Revelation 3:18 it says, I counsel thee to buy of me, not just gold tried in the fire, but then it says, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And so that means you also have to buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And that thy shame, all thy nakedness, do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. See, this message came to give us eyesight, but again, to give us gold tried in the fire, but also gave us a white raiment by of me. So just briefly going to go over God's raiment. In Psalm, it says, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. See the virtues here? Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established that it cannot be moved. Matthew says, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded, this is Joseph of Arimathea, Joseph, the one that gave him his tomb. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean clothes. Never seen it that way. His body needed to be wrapped, and it was wrapped in clean clothes. You can imagine the condition of the body. And to me, it's interesting that he came wrapped and he left wrapped. In Luke 2:12, beautiful connection here. It says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I think it's beautiful. Must have been linen. I wish I could have, I kept on looking to see if it was linen, but you know the day, it must have been linen. But I know in the earlier scriptures, it did say that he was wrapped in clean cloth. It says it's clean linen cloth. And in Mark 5, we see, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I will be whole. You know, the hem of his garment. In Revelation 10, I'll wrap it up here a couple minutes. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. What kind of clothing is that? Look how beautiful that is. A mighty angel, Revelation 10:1. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. He's just taking care of the clothes, the feet. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful type. I think if we could see into other dimension, we'd be surprised, you know, what a Christian looks like when they're walking in the attributes of God. Psalm 104:2, who covereth thyself with light, with a garment. So you will see somebody who's covered with light when they're walking around, as if it was a garment. Probably has a structure to it. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. In this case, I think it might be talking about the Lord. Matthew 17, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And again, same, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Amen. The policeman, so the uniform, right? It represented not just power, but authority, right? It says it takes authority. So, and the church has an authority from Jesus Christ. Just a couple more quotes here. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or deadly things, it'll not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's his given authority. Now, what if the same little policeman is afraid to raise his hand and step out in that traffic? He better take off that uniform. Present the badge back, because he'll never make a policeman. Neither will he ever make a believer, as long as we're afraid to exercise the authority that's been given us by Jesus Christ. And that authority was represented with the uniform, with the policeman uniform. We have victory. We don't have to have any. We don't have to fight for victory. We already have victory. He conquered it for us. Not us. He conquered it for us. We are not the mighty conqueror. He is the mighty conqueror. Amen. And here we find out, it's just typifying that, I'll read what's highlighted here. And then it says, one of these days with his beautiful bride all clothed and made herself ready. Though he has scars in his hands and nail prints, he will stand as a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to see that someday. And here's the bride in review. There came up that little bride, lovely in the vision. And I not think about it, just sitting here watching outside. And there come the bride. I heard a voice by the side of me saying, here is a preview of the bride. And she came by. I noticed her. The way she was, very lovely, pretty, young. She was walking just a step as she could. Not a march. just in the stride of a woman. How they walk gracefully, ladylike. That's the way she was walking, coming up on my left side, and she went out of my side. Just a few more here. And here it says, and I've not shunned to declare to you the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, and my heart's desire to meet the church which he died for, clothed in righteousness. And then it says, of his own blood, dressed in his word, and the righteousness of his word, for his word can never fail. Amen. Amen. So that bride that came in review again, look what it says here. Now, as she passed by, the whole back part had no covering at all. Then, as she passed by, I felt faint and sickly. Then, he said, the voice, the bride will come into preview again. And there, the bride came behind her. The very same looking bride that passed at the beginning, he had seen her before in the vision. Then my heart jumped for joy. See, he saw her. To know that there will be a bride. He's seen her. He's seen you in a preview. And she will be made of the same thing. And clothed in the same thing. That the one, as the one that was at the beginning, she is to be called. And I know that is truth. If the truth is, if it isn't true, then every vision, look how important this is to him. Every vision that I've had in the back has been wrong, meaning previously. And anyone knows that no one thing has ever told us but what was truth. It come to pass, just. And can you see then the filthiness of the modern church calling herself a church? Here's the last one. I hope he will crown my ministry of letting me take the cloth of the word, the revealed word. He's seen her, so he know what he looked like. And dressed his bride in the cloth of the word for his righteousness. And I hope he will crown me. Let me stand on that day, say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you.